This podcast is brought to you by Radio 786.
I listened to the budget. I didn't feel, and there's a lot of South Africans that are saying, you know, they're celebrating the fact that there are no new taxes. The fuel levy remains the same. There's no increases there. There's no increases to income tax. In fact, if company tax has been reduced by 1%. And many are celebrating this as some form of a reprieve. And I'm wondering whether it is something to celebrate. But let's get some analysis now on Enoch Godongwana's maiden budget speech. That has certainly attracted mixed reactions from labor unions, the public, politicians, and as it were, the speech touched on some aspects that the unions and civil groups wanted answers to. The minister failed to address all of them, of course, as to be expected. Riza Omar is now on the line with us from the Strategic Research Director at Citizen Survey. Riza, assalamu alaikum. Thank you so very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Well, let me show that.
How would you describe this budget? I mean, one person described it as a Goldilocks, not too warm, not too cold, but maybe just right.
I think the minister is in a very difficult situation. On the one hand, there is revenue constraints, there's massive amounts of debt. And on the other hand, he has to try and solve the Eskom problem while ensuring that the social grants increased at least an inflationary rate. So it is quite a tightrope that he had to walk. But there are certain things that also did catch my attention as I was listening to you coming into this interview. The drop in corporate tax rate, for example, that was a very interesting move. So the not too hot, not too cold, well, at least he didn't touch the social grants. And that was a positive outcome from it.
Mm. Well, I'm wondering whether one can achieve fiscal consolidation, which really is, a fancy word for saying let's take an almost austerity approach to try and stabilize the debt as well, because debt to GDP was, what, close to 70%, 65 or 60-odd percent, which to my mind, looks very scary at the moment.
Well, if we consider our debt is owed, and he mentioned this, both to domestic lenders and international lenders. So international lenders, that's our international debt. It's denominated in U.S. dollars. And those are external creditors. They have to get paid. If the currency slides, we have a very big problem paying that debt. He mentioned that there were external factors which are beyond South Africa's control, which does have a material impact upon the way that this is going to play out over the next year. He didn't go into great detail, but in short, the most important player on the stage is the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. South Africa is a Mickey Mouse economy, a tiny economy, $302 billion, where the U.S. is $23 trillion, orders of magnitude. The Federal Reserve has already said that it intends to lift interest rates by perhaps as much as 2.75% over a year period. That is going to cause South Africa to have to push up interest rates by maybe as much as 4%. He didn't mention that. But that is definitely a risk that is in the back of his mind.
Which means what to the ordinary consumer or the ordinary income earner?
Well, if you do have debt that you're busy servicing and interest rates go up 4%, your interest repayment can practically double. Sure. So if you're paying 1,500 rand on a loan that was the interest you were repaying, well, that 1,500 can turn into 3,000 rand. And that's the problem. If interest rates go up very quickly, and too quickly for many, then people can also collapse. And that's one of the risks. He touched on it, but he didn't elaborate on it. Mm. But this is a distinct risk that is facing us now in this year.
Is there a way to protect against that risk?
Reduce your debt to the best of your ability. That is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And do not take on additional debt in instances where interest rates can go up very rapidly. So, but we understand a lot of people, given the situation they find themselves in now, they're not in a position. They didn't take out this debt because they wanted to go on holiday. It's just the way the last two COVID years played out.
Mm.
So this is something to definitely bear in mind.
Is there a way to ease this on consumers by government spending more in the economy, you know, making at least certain moves that could offset some form of an interest rate? If one looks even at the United States, which, I mean, has bigger reserves and is a bigger economy, but even other parts of the world where countries are beginning to spend some money to ease the impact to consumers and to offset or to at least control that inflation, is that a worthy scenario, or are we really at a point where you know, there just simply isn't money in the public purse to provide that level of ease?
Well, one of the things we know about social grants is that people have to spend that money in order to live, and the two largest expenditure items of poor people is food and transport. That's what they spend their money on. So when we know, okay, there is inflationary grant increase coming through, and that we have to still check that it is inflationary related, we know that that money is going to wind up in the real economy. That money is not going to get hoarded by anybody. They're going to be spending it. And that in and of itself is a form of fiscal stimulation. As far as government, they have but this is not new. As you spoke about the expanded public works program, the building programs, the jobs program, and they have a lot of those initiatives, which are not new. So state is attempting to do some of these things, but there are global risks. And what I explained about interest rate hikes, that is part of the global risk. Everybody on the planet faces this kind of risk this year.
Yeah. All right. There were some increases, of course, the sin taxes, which is to be expected. There's no increase to the fuel levy. And there was a commitment to re-looking the structure of that fuel levy, with the minister saying that he spoke to his counterpart, Gwede Mantashe, to set up teams to explore the discussions around the restructure of the fuel levy. Do you suppose that, you know, that the protection at the moment is that from the levy, Levy's perspective, that there's no increase there, but the risk remains with the global trading price of oil, and so there could still be a very volatile situation that we sit with?
Yes. We know that the fuel price leads directly into inflation. So if the fuel price goes up, then transport goes up, and that leads directly into general inflation. Now, by adding on additional taxes, because essentially the levies can all be viewed as a tax. These are not optional. By adding an additional, you're going to push up the cost of fuel, you're going to push up the cost of transportation, and you're going to be fueling inflation. That's essentially what they recognize the fuel levy does. The second thing is that the fuel levy is a regressive tax.
Mm-hmm.
It hits the poorest the hardest. Because, as I said earlier, the poor spend the vast portion of their income on food and transport. And there's no way to divorce any commodity away from transport. So by keeping that level, what they're attempting to do, as far as I can tell, is contain inflation. There are other ways for state to be able to raise monies for the activities they wish to engage in, other than loading up on that fuel levy. The fuel levy is very convenient because of the way that revenue is collected from it. But there are other ways. And I believe that Treasury did not want to exacerbate inflationary pressures.
And so we'll see certainly how all of this will come together. I'm going to be talking later about the changes that could potentially come to the pension funds and the retirement system that could soon undergo some form of a restructure as well. We'll have that conversation at around 10 past 7 this morning. Riza, thank you very much for coming into the program. Riza Umar, the Research Director at Citizens Survey, reacting there to the budget speech.
This podcast is brought to you by Radio 786.